From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Monday, February 10th, and here are today's headlines. The Vermont Department of Public Service says it oversees roughly $400 million in federal grants that are at risk right now. That's due to impacts from a federal funding freeze, which appears to remain at least partially in effect, despite a judge's order blocking it. About $30 million of Vermont's share of grant funding from the Inflation Reduction Act is for low-income home weatherization. Jeff Wilcox leads that work for the state, and he says the money is critical for providing free insulation to low-income households.
Next year, we would still be able to weatherize the same amount of homes as we were planning to, but shortly after that, if the IRA funds didn't come to be, that could be detrimental to the amount of weatherized homes we can provide.
The Department of Public Service says it's working hard to secure the federal funds and to understand what's next. Meanwhile, Congresswoman Becca Ballant is urging Vermont lawmakers to begin preparing for more significant federal budget cuts or freezes in the future. Ballant says federal lawmakers have not been able to get any concrete information from the Trump administration about which programs might be targeted for cuts. But she says the president has vowed to reduce federal spending by hundreds of billions of dollars.
And so it is incredibly important that the legislature is working closely with the governor right now to anticipate that those federal dollars are not going to be secure.
Money from the federal government makes up about a third of Vermont's state budget. Vermont's nonprofit sector also relies heavily on federal funding. And speaking of funding difficulties, Burlington's annual Street Performance Festival will not happen this year. Burlington City Arts said in a press release they are pausing the Festival of Fools as the city gets its finances in order. The event is a free week-long summer celebration in downtown Burlington featuring circus performers, acrobats, magicians, and buskers. Burlington City Arts says the city has had to make difficult decisions in order to address challenges tied to community safety, housing, and the climate. Organizers say they plan to bring the Festival of Fools back next year. Vermont's House of Representatives has voted to uphold the result of a contested election in Bennington. In November, Democrat Jonathan Cooper defeated Republican Bruce Boussa by less than 30 votes, but roughly 50 people received the wrong ballot. Boussa appealed to the legislature based on earlier precedent, and V.T. Digger reports the House upheld Cooper's victory largely along party lines. Vermont GOP Chair Paul Dayne condemned the legislature's decision, saying Democrats failed to bring justice for voters. And a state tourism grant will help a group of nonprofits promote adaptive mountain biking in the region. The effort's led by the Kelly Brush Foundation, which works to empower people with spinal cord injuries to lead active lives. The group is highlighting the driving range trails in Richmond, an adaptive ready trail network completed last year. Andrew Bernstein with the foundation says the trail system is the first to be designed from the ground up to be accessible to adaptive mountain bikers.
The trails are challenging and they contain a lot of the elements that mountain bikers look to have a good time riding all kinds of terrain. But there's nowhere that a mountain biker would come to where the trail is too narrow or there's a section they won't be able to get through in their three-wheel adaptive mountain bikes.
Bernstein says the tourism grant will help promote the trails to both locals and people outside of Vermont. Coming up, most of Vermont's waste ends up in one landfill located in the Northeast Kingdom. In a recent episode of Brave Little State, Michaela Lafrac set out to the neighboring Granite State to find out why New Hampshire, in contrast, has six different landfills for its trash, with perhaps another on the way. That's after this.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency, where support comes from VITA, supporting business growth and innovation in the Green Mountain State. From agriculture to manufacturing, energy to food production, find solutions that turn your business dreams into reality. Visit VEDA.org and see how VITA can help make it happen.
When it comes to our trash, Vermont keeps it simple. Most of what we throw away ends up in Coventry, in the Northeast Kingdom. That's the home of Vermont's only landfill, which is owned and operated by Casella Waste Systems. But our neighbor to the east, New Hampshire, has not one but six landfills. And there's talk of opening yet another one. So why the discrepancy? On the latest episode of Brave Little State, reporter Michaela Lafrac set out to find the answers.
Let's compare the total amount of trash these two frenemies produce. Vermont disposes of less than 400,000 tons of municipal solid waste a year. That's about 57,000 adult elephants worth of trash. New Hampshire disposes of 1.9 million tons. That's about 271,000 elephants. Imagine all those trash elephants. Now, this disparity kind of makes sense. New Hampshire has more than double Vermont's population. It also has less strict composting laws, so more stuff is ending up in the trash. But the big difference is that New Hampshire accepts a lot of out-of-state waste. Out of that 1.9 million tons of trash that ends up in New Hampshire landfills every year, half of it, a million tons, comes from other states. This is a really thorny issue for some Granite Staters. They feel like they've become the region's dumping ground. Here's Mike Wimsatt. He's the Waste Management Division Director at New Hampshire's Department of Environmental Services.
A lot of folks, including our legislature, are very uncomfortable with that. They don't like the idea that the state is accepting waste from out of state. And they see it as those states aren't taking care of their own waste. They're sending it to us.
Vermont does this too, but at a much, much smaller scale. The Coventry landfill accepts what are called special wastes from a couple nearby states. Things like wastewater treatment sludge, asbestos, and ash. But it doesn't take any regular household waste from other states. One reason is how far north Coventry is. There's no rail line there. If you're Rhode Island, for instance, it's going to be cheaper to ship your trash by rail to Ohio or truck it to southern New Hampshire. But say a state did want to send their trash to Coventry. Massachusetts has actually inquired about this a few times. Vermont can't outright bar a company from accepting waste from another state. That would violate the Interstate Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which actually came up surprisingly often in my interviews. Lots of constitutional scholars in the world of trash. But there are some levers that legislators can pull. Vermont has really strict rules about how waste needs to be sorted, for example. And Massachusetts is like, no, we can't follow that. The out-of-state waste battle is raging in New Hampshire right now. Casella is currently trying to build a new landfill in the town of Dalton. But many people, even the new governor, Kelly Ayotte, are against it. She even brought it up in her inaugural address.
We will not allow that beautiful part of our state and that beautiful area to become a dumping ground for out-of-state trash. It's just not going to happen.
As we often say in the news business, we'll have to wait and see. Now, it's to the future. There comes a time, kids, when every landfill reaches its capacity. You can only pile trash so high. In Coventry's case, that time is coming pretty soon, 20 years to be exact. Then what? Is that when we'll get another landfill? I ask John Casella, CEO of Casella Waste Systems.
What do you think the chances are that Vermont will see another landfill established in the next 20 years? How likely is that?
I think it's very likely. I don't think there's any question about that, at least at this point.
The next question is, where will it be? No town wants to be the next Coventry. John said his company has identified a couple places that could work, but he's not naming names right now. There are other options, like expanding Coventry. Or we could start shipping more of our trash out of state. Hi, New Hampshire. Or we could burn it.
They actually have, in southern New England, have embraced waste energy much more so than northern New England. Waste energy being burning trash.
This is Josh Kelly. He's the Solid Waste Program Manager in Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources.
For example, Massachusetts has 5 waste energy facilities. Connecticut has 4.
Ultimately, it's up to the state government to decide, which means our elected officials and folks like Josh.
The next question you ask is what comes next? We are intending to start a stakeholder process looking at the future of disposal capacity in Vermont.
Hearing this, I was like, oh man, that sounds like a lot of committees and studies and well-meaning people arguing back and forth and back and forth for years. If you want to feel a sense of agency in the short term, and I know I sure do, here's what a bunch of trash folks I spoke to suggested. Use less plastic. Here's how Mike Wimsatt over in New Hampshire puts it.
That's the part nobody really wants to do, right? Everybody hates landfills and everybody hates everything associated with waste management. But they're not always prepared to say, well, I'm going to do without this or that, and or I'm going to make a decision about what I buy and packaging and things like that.
Our purchasing decisions do make a difference to the people who live near the Coventry landfill. Don't take it from me. Take it from Michael Marcotte. He runs a convenience store in Newport, and he lives in Coventry. He's also a state representative, a Republican. He says when the state banned single-use plastic bags about 5 years ago, he started seeing fewer of them floating out of the landfill.
I think that's hopefully been a big success. We used to see a lot of that blowing on the road. I don't see so much of it anymore. Each one of us has to do our part in reducing the amount of trash that goes into the landfill.
So let me open the door for you. You guys can stand right outside and look.
Jeremy Labby is an engineer and the Coventry Landfill's general manager. He and his employees take a fair amount of guff from environmental activists for working there. It weighs on him. But as long as we keep making mountains of trash, he sees this as necessary work.
6 months in, I said, I'm not sure how long I'm going to last in this business because I'm a people pleaser by nature, right? So being in an industry that people are always like, oh, I can't believe you do that. How dare you? It was hard, right? Just, it's like, man, like the same people that I have to pick their trash up and deal with the crud that they leave they don't want anymore, the same people yelling at you. One of the engineers that works for the company, Tony, who I worked under for a while, she had the best quote. She says, everybody wants you to pick their trash up, but nobody wants you to put it down.
That was an excerpt from a recent episode of Brave Little State, the show that answers your questions about Vermont. Listen and subscribe for free at bravelittlestate.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles, Peter Hirschfeld, Nathaniel Wilson, Adia Gulston, and Mary Angish. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.